Turn your Bibles today to the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I want to use the thought this morning for my message, Where Are the Nine? But we're going to be branching out and looking at other sections of the Word of God as well. But I want us to think of that thought this morning, Where Are the Nine? Let me begin reading chapter 17 and verse number 12. Luke 17, verse number 12. The Bible says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show thyselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Let's pray. Our Father, this morning I pray that this question that our Savior asked will echo in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts for these few moments as we see some practical application that can be made today in our lives. Dear Lord, today speak to hearts in this church service. If there's someone here that has never been born again by the grace of God, may they be saved today. And then our Father, help us to recognize the privilege, the blessing of being a child of God. And help us, Lord, now to live according to our calling. Bless now the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the account before us concerns the healing of 10 lepers, but only one returned to give glory to God. Jesus asked, Where are the 9? Where are the 9? In other words, 9 of the 10 did not return. Did not return to give glory to God. You know, the Christian life, when we stop and think about it, is a spiritual turnaround. It's a spiritual turnover. It results in a returning. It literally does. It results in a turnaround. Now, you see, when it comes to the matter of the Christian life, it's about returning. It really is. Returning, for example, with praise in our soul and thanksgiving on our lips. When God gets a hold of a person's life, a radical change occurs. And you and I are thinking then about a turnaround. God gives us grace to have a turnaround, does He not? Now, Jesus should not have had to ask, Where are the 9? Where are the 9? He shouldn't have had to ask that. Ever since the beginning of time, unfortunately, there have been people that have been missing in action. Missing in action. But you see, that's not altogether bad. Because there's another point that I can make today. When God saves a person, they're missing in action in a sense too. I'm talking about missing in sinful activity. Missing in action in terms of how we've lived and moved and had our being until Christ came in. When God saved me, my friend, I was missing in action. I wasn't involved any longer in those things that I used to enjoy. You see, the Bible says that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I can tell you that by the grace of God, I was not found in the hell hole of sin after finding my Savior in 1968. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't sinned since I was saved. But it sure does mean this. I haven't enjoyed sin since I got saved. And that's the thing we need to understand today. Salvation does not mean sinlessness, but there's one thing for sure. When a person gets saved, they'll never again enjoy sin again. Because the Spirit of God will make sure that we don't enjoy it anymore. And I'm glad, aren't you? I'm glad. Now, when I got saved, My old friends were saying, where's Chuck? That actually happened. I know for a fact. See, Jesus said, where are the nine? My old friends were saying, where's Chuck? Where are the nine? Think about it this morning. Why aren't they back at the feet of Jesus praising Him? Why aren't they back there also thanking Him? How come they can't be found? How come we only find one returning to give praise to God? You know, I'd say today that shouldn't you expect every blood-washed child of God to be fired up serving God? I mean, that's an expectation that I think that we can't expect in light of the Bible, isn't it? Every Christian ought to be in the business of praising God, worshiping the Lord, serving God, loving the Lord. Amen? But too many haven't shown up for duty. When I was a young, irresponsible person that was in the process of having to learn the hard way, when it came to a lot of lessons of life, I found out the hard way that irresponsibility takes a toll. I remember working a job over in Lynchburg, Virginia. And one particular day, I thought I didn't want to go into work. I thought I wanted to go squirrel hunting. And I grabbed my shotgun and went off into the woods squirrel hunting. But the next day when I went in to go to work, I found out I didn't have a job any longer. Of course, I had a lot of time to squirrel hunt then. In other words, the guy fired me. I didn't show up for work. I didn't show up for duty. You know, years ago, people were asking the question concerning a man by the name of Glenn Miller. Where's Glenn Miller? You know, he was a famous musician that disappeared on a flight from England to Paris. Also, 1975, people were asking, where's Jimmy Hoffa? He was the American labor union leader who disappeared in 1975. Many people have said, where's so-and-so? Jesus said, where are the nine? I'm thinking today of many weeping mothers that are saying, where's my child? I think of precious kids being kidnapped, being killed, and mothers saying, where's my child? I think of the many down through the years, mothers and fathers that have said, where's my son? Where's my daughter who didn't come home from war? In 2014, the world was asking, where's Malaysia Flight 370? It went down on March the 8th, 2014, 239 passengers on board. Where's Flight 370. Throughout Scripture, we have examples of people that showed up missing. We have people from time to time that we can't understand where they are. Sometimes they're missing in a legitimate way, but in other times they're missing in a non or illegitimate way. I'm thinking today of an account found in Scripture in Matthew chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. But in that particular account, you have two men that were controlled by demons. Jesus met those two men of Gadara. Jesus cast out those demons out of those two men. But interestingly enough, in Mark and Luke, it only mentions one man. The question would come up today, where is the other man of Gadara? What happened to him? I can imagine if a person is walking through the neighborhood of the people that knew the man of Gadara that Jesus healed and went home to his family, I can imagine the conversation would probably go on something like this. You know, I'm wondering, what happened to the other man of Gadara, the neighborhood? People might say, I know what happened to one. Why, when Jesus got a hold of him, why, he went home to his family and his friends, and he told them what great things God had done for him. But I can't figure out what happened to that other man. Then I can imagine as that conversation proceeds forward, someone would probably say something like this. And by the way, you know what helps you when you read your Bible? It helps you to put the practical, look at it practical. We're talking about real people, aren't we? We're talking about literal events. I can imagine maybe somebody saying that day, you know that mad bunch, there's a mad bunch of hog raisers out there on County Line Road. Somebody said that old Farmer Brown and his associates had about 2,000 pigs that began to act strange and they plunged into the sea. Now, that sounds kind of strange, but by the way, we're talking about real people, real events, something that literally happened in Bible history, aren't we? I wonder what you're saying. Where's that other man of Gadara? What happened to him? Did he forget about his deliverance? Was he afraid that he'd be asked to follow the Lord? Did his family influence him? Did the men in the hog business frighten him? What happened to the other man of Gadara? Now let me put this on a practical footing. What has happened to most of us? Why do we have locked jaw? Why aren't we telling people what Christ did for us? Why aren't we rejoicing more? Why aren't we more happy in our Christian life? How come we're quiet? I'm telling you this morning we have a lot to tell. I'm telling you this morning we have the most wonderful news to give. I'm telling you this morning, child of God, we have a message that can change people's lives. We can tell people about Jesus Christ. Why do we have lockjaw too often? We ought to be witnessing to people. We ought to be inviting people to church. We ought to be telling every person every time we get an opportunity. And by the way, we're all guilty of not telling people enough about what Christ has done for us. That man of the Gadarenes went home and he told his family what Christ had done for him. And I see a need today of our doing the same. What happened to the other maniac of Gadara? Acts 8. Another event. Peter is in prison, as you remember. Acts chapter 8. You remember something happened, don't you? You remember the angel of God broke into that cell that night. And the angel of God opened that prison door. And Peter walked out scot-free. Then those jailers begin to ask, what happened to Peter? What happened to Peter? Well, there's one thing for sure. He's not in prison anymore. God's delivered him. What happened to him? I know what happened to him. He went back to the house of Mary. He went back to the place where many people were having a prayer meeting for him. Why, he went to the door, didn't he? Knocked on the door. Rhoda came to the door. Rhoda took one look at him and said, no, it can't be true. Rhoda goes back to the back, tells those disciples that have been praying. I mean, what have they been praying for? They've been praying for his release. She goes back and says, boys, ladies, he's here. They said, you got to be kidding me. By this time, Peter's knuckles begin to bleed because he kept on beating, kept on knocking until finally the message sinks in. What happened to Peter? I know where he's at now. While he goes in, he busts up that prayer meeting. He turns that prayer meeting into a testimony meeting. He tells him about how the Lord has delivered him. What happened to Peter while he went to a prayer meeting? What happened to us when God released us out of prison? We find ourselves in a prayer meeting. We find ourselves now telling people about Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Peter. He leaves the prison, thank God. He goes back home and tells people what happened to him. Now, what's happened to us again? Why aren't we testifying before others more? Why aren't we telling more people about our deliverance? Shame on us. It's been said in a poem, you're the only Bible the careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last witness given in deed and word. What if the print is crooked? What if the type is blurred? What's happened to us? When God saved us, when God saved us, He gave joy in our soul. When God saved us, He opened our mouths. When God saved us, He gave something good to talk about for a change. Why don't we start telling others what Christ has done for us? What happened to Peter? Then, I think of a more solemn account of Scripture. I'm thinking of Numbers chapter 16. You don't have to turn there either, but verses 1 through 38, there was a man in the Bible whose name was Korah. Korah. You remember the name. Korah, he stepped over the bounds of respect for God's man. He showed rebellion against the authority of Moses. And the Bible says that the earth opened up and swallowed Korah. You might be interested to know the name Korah. His name means ice. Ice. That's a reminder of something. That reminds us of the fact that he needed a heart to be warmed by grace, but obviously it wasn't. The question would be asked, where's Korah? The answer to that question is a solemn answer. The question would be solemn, but the answer would be even more solemn. I know where he is. The earth opened him up and swallowed him alive. You see, that's a solemn reminder today of some serious business. Here's what I'm saying. Where's Korah? Solemn question. You know what the answer would be? Yes, he was swallowed up by the earth. But the answer would be, he's where he went because God judged him because of sin. Now, my friend, I realize something. I've been around the block a few years now, and I know a few things about human nature. I know when it comes to going to church, we all like to come to church and have as good a time as we possibly can. We like to leave with a nice, warm, comfortable feeling when we go out of church, and rightly so. And I believe the Word of God can nurture us and help us, to feel good in more ways than one. But I've got to say this as a gospel preacher. Life is serious. Just as surely as there is a God in heaven that saves sinners from hell, there is still a devil. There is still a problem called sin. There is still an eternity we've got to face. There is still a verse in the Bible that says, be sure your sins will find you out. There is still a passage of Scripture that says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is still event after event that proves the fact that a person needs to be saved. You see, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, which proves to us today it is a foolish thing to play in sin. I believe as surely as I stand here, just as surely as there's a wonderful place called heaven where the saints of God will go, I believe there's a terrible place called hell that consists of people weeping and gnashing of their teeth. It's a place of endless sorrow. It's a place of shame. It's a place of endless remorse. Oh, my friend, today, if you're here in this service without Jesus Christ, I plead to you to come to Christ today. Where's Korah? Where's Korah? He was judged because of his sin. Let's travel a little bit further in the Bible and let's visit another account. Ruth chapter 1, Ruth 1, verses 14 and 15. We read something there about what happened. You had two sister-in-laws. You had Ruth and you had Orpah. We're told in that passage of Scripture that Orpah went back to her people and she went back to her gods, while Ruth clung to her mother-in-law Naomi and went with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Question this morning, where's Orpah? Where's Orpah? Well, in the Bible, she's never mentioned again. But I think of the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and I see a list of Bible characters. And the key point about those Bible characters in Hebrews chapter 11 is they were distinguished by faith. Those characters in Hebrews 11, they struggled, they persevered, they conquered, but they left a permanent memorial and a challenge for us today to walk by faith. Where's Orpah? Where's Orpah? Orpah went back. She went back to Moab. She walked off the stage of history. And the lasting memory of her is sad. The last I see in my mind of Orpah, I see her walking back, going back to Moab. But Ruth. Ruth goes with Naomi. Ruth goes forward, guided by the hand of providence. And her life is remembered in a continual blessing. But where's Orpah? Where's Orpah? I see in that question a challenge to us today that are saved. I see a challenge like this. Be faithful. Serve God. Stay in His will. Go forward. Don't go backwards. Press on. Walk by faith. That's what I see when I think of Orpah. Where's Orpah? I wonder about the people that I've had the privilege of pastoring down through the years and preaching to many times, and some of them I know have fallen into sin and are no longer serving God. And I, in my mind, I'm saying, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? I think of how many times it's possible in the Christian life to run the race faithfully. But to get your eyes off of Christ and to wind up knocked off guard and to wind up defeated, I see, have seen that happen. Where's Orpah? The question about Orpah should remind us today to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The question about Orpah should remind us today to love God, serve the Lord, be faithful, keep your eyes on Christ. Stay in church. Serve God. Where's Orpah? Let's go to another account of Scripture. I'm thinking of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. Bible says, Demas hath forsaken us, having loved this present world. Demas hath forsaken us, having loved this present world. Paul was saying, where's Demas? Where's Demas? Where was Paul? Paul was in prison. Paul was in a Roman cold dungeon prison. Paul was saying, where's Demas? I could use his encouragement. I could use his handshake. I could use him walking up to me at a time when I'm lonely. At a time when I need friends, at a time when I could use his support, I could stand him coming up to me, putting his arm around me and saying, Brother Paul, I'm praying for you. But where's Demas? I think of others at that point of time in Paul's life that were there when he needed them. By the way, always be here when people need you. Always be accountable. Realize today we are our brother's keeper. Realize, if somebody said, Cain asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? I can remember the words of one of my professors in Bible college years ago. He'd come back with this answer. And say, when Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? I can remember G. Carl Green, that's who it was, making the statement. He'd say, yes, Cain, if he could talk to Cain. He'd say, yes, Cain, you are your brother's keeper, and you better keep him well. Because the day is coming, you'll need him to keep you. Point I want to make today is this: we need each other. We suffer. We hurt. We have pain. We get lonely. We need friends. And be where people can get to you. Where's Demas? Where's Demas? He told Timothy, Paul did, he told Timothy, he said, come shortly. He said, bring the book. Bring the books. But especially bring the parchments. Bring the parchments. Then Paul said, bring the cloak. He's cold. He's cold. It must have been cold in that prison. Paul is saying, I could stand the coat. I could stand the cloak, Timothy. Would you please bring my cloak? But where's Demas? Where's Demas? I think Paul would have said, find out, if you can, where Demas is. Find out for me. My heart aches for him. Find out where Demas is. Let's go to another passage real quickly. Genesis 5. Genesis 5. Bible says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Don't you know, there were people in that day and time saying, where's Enoch? Where's Enoch? You know, what a good way to end a life, right? What a good chapter. Where's Enoch? Bible says he walked with God. And you know, I like what a child said one time, illustrating that passage. They said, the child put it in their own little innocent words of language. Child said, I can imagine. Enoch got up one morning. When I think about this, I get teared up a little bit because I think of how good God is. Think of a child describing this. Enoch gets up one morning, says, God, let me go ahead and walk with you again today. God and Enoch start walking, start talking, start fellowshipping. Finally, as the day wears on, child's telling this now, God looks at Enoch, said, Enoch, you're closer to my home now than you are yours. Come on home with me. Where's Enoch? I know where he is. He's in heaven right now in a body. He's in heaven in a body. And I tell you, there's another person in heaven in a body, and that's Elijah. But the one that I'm really thankful that's in heaven in a glorified body is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's Jesus? Thank God I know where he is. He went to the cross. He paid my sin debt in full. He rose again the third day. He ascended back into heaven, and he's wearing a body. And he has nail-pierced hands. Do you know where he is today? The only way you can appreciate where he is right now is to be able to say, he's in my heart. Where's Jesus? But then finally, this morning, think about this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. One of these days, a crowd of people is going to say, where's the church? Where's the church? Can you imagine now the report that goes out across this world when the rapture takes place? Multitudes missing. Some mother says, where's my child? Where's my child? Some person says, where's my grandmother? Where's my grandfather? Somebody says, where's my mother? Where's my father? Others say, where's my uncle? Where's my aunt? Some people go to church, and you can believe this is true too. There are people that will go to church and say, where's the preacher? I would say this morning that if you have a case of a preacher who's not saved, who obviously is not preaching the gospel, they'll find him. Yeah, he'll still be in church. But those that have been saved, why, people, and I believe this, I believe people show up in church all the time that haven't been saved. But where's the church? Where's the church? Yes, when the rapture takes place, you'll find a local church. But my friend, you'll not find his body. You'll not find the body of Christ. You'll not find the body of Jesus Christ when a rapture takes place. Because when the Lord comes back, church is going up. And the question then is going to be, where's the church? So, falling back on my original text, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And I wonder today, child of God, are you and I opening our mouths enough and praising the Lord for what God's done? Don't you think it might be a good time this morning, maybe as we come to this invitation time, to be willing to come to an old altar and say, oh God, I've been caught with lockjaw, and I want to open it up and start giving account more of what Christ has done for me. And I've got to warn you today, if you're here this morning in this church service, you may be religious, but if you're lost, you need the Savior today. You've got to understand, in this past week, two precious people left us. Two precious people related to this church died this past week. And I'll tell you something, life is certain, death is sure, eternity is long, and a person needs to be saved. They need to know it. These are dangerous times to be living without God. In fact, every time is always a bad time to live without God. But if there's ever been risky times to live without God, it's right now in this world we're living in. I still will never forget, Bessie being in our church service on that Sunday morning, coming to our church service to hear the cantata, to hear the Word of God preached, and leaving this church service after hugging many of us and greeting many of us as was her customary way of doing things, leaving this church and getting killed within 5 miles of this church on the way home, head-on collision. A person needs to have their spiritual bags packed and be ready to go. A person needs to be saved today. Let's bow our heads in prayer.